Okay, a lot of us know where judgment means, like discernment in the Bible, so I'm going to talk about judgment tonight. Romans chapter 1. Yes, to judge or not to judge, that is the question. So it seems to be Judges is actually a book in the Bible. Exodus, then you've got Leviticus, Deuteronomy, it's all about judgments in Israel, and kings were there to judge Israel with righteous judgments. Romans chapter 2. Did I? Sorry? It's verse 1. Romans 2, verse 1, sorry. Okay, just a few verses here. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judgest another, thou thyself condemn thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which cannot commit such things. And think thou this, O man, that judgeth them that do such things and do the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after that thy hardness and impudent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, and of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile, which just means non-Jew. But glory, honour and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall perish, also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of God, the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And probably the focus on reading that is really on the verses 14 there. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law to themselves. Verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. And the conscience, the word conscience means knowing in oneself. And the golden rule, who knows what the golden rule is? Yes, Andy? Okay, well, it's not the one I knew of. That is the rule for many people nowadays, but the golden rule used to be do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. And that rule doesn't just is not just something you find in the Bible, and even in secular history there is there are peoples that was part of their code of how to get along in a society. Confucianism, with about 500 BC, they had the same instructions there. And that code of Hammurabi, that steel that they found 1700 BC, is saying the same thing, that as you want others to treat you, you treat them. So which is what sort of empathy is about. And empathy is a root of kindness, is at the root of kindness, compassion, understanding, respect, qualities no matter who we are, we appreciate being shown. I suppose the moral compass, we talk about a moral compass. When I was young, I knew how I wanted to be. And then I got a bit older and I knew I wasn't as I wanted to be. And just you in this world, then you just get dirtied by this world, and at 8 years of age, I'm, as I say, rolling cigarettes from people's old cigarettes, with papers and that. You know, it's not, that's not who and what I wanted to be doing, but, you know, it was cool to smoke cigarettes from the television. And so you sort of go on this track, and then down the track you think, you know, who am I? And I'm not the person that I should be. You know, I know what I'm inside of me, how I wanted to be, and I'm not that person. And so this moral compass is, we're not tracking, we're not following that moral compass. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So, yeah, we put aside our own judgments, our own discernment, and we start allowing others to make judgments for us. We follow their judgments. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And there is a religion that does forbid to marry, and, you know, has these laws about what you can and can't eat, and there's a few of those. But he is speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And lying is a way of destroying your conscience and knowing in oneself. Hypocrisy is another way of destroying your conscience, where you're saying one thing and doing another, or doing one thing and saying another. And you no longer know in yourself because of lies and hypocrisy. I am having your conscience seared with a hot iron. We're talking about judgment. And who has ever heard the trial by ordeal? Who's a Catholic? Yeah, you should know about trial by ordeal. And it's not just in the Catholic Europe that it was, that it ran for quite a few centuries. It stopped at about the 13th century. But the way when there were people arguing over something that they were as a big dispute about, or somebody was seen to be at fault, they could plead guilty, or if they said no, I'm innocent, they could go through this trial by ordeal. And there's a few of them. One of them was that you could be given a hot bar. They put a bar, depending on the crime, the severity of the crime, it could be a £1, £2 or £3, if £3 was heinous crimes, and they would put in a fire, get it nice and red and hot, and then they would hand it to you, and you would take it, and you were supposed to hold it for a certain amount of time, and then they would bandage you up, and then after 3 days, if you were still scarred and still suffering from the burns, then you were likely, depending on the crime, likely to be hanged, because it hadn't healed up. There was another one where you could put your hand into a pot of boiling water or oil and then pull it up, same thing, and if it hadn't healed in 3 days, then you were guilty because, you know, God knows everything. God would have healed you if God was on your side. And there was one, I don't know whether it's just folklore or somebody thought it's a good thing to say, or it actually happened. Some said that... They said, well, if you hand me to whoever was, you know, running the show, if you hand it to me yourself, then I'll go along with it. And with your holy hands, as you can imagine. For the priests, if they had been accused of doing something wrong, then they had to, their punishment was that they had to eat the Eucharist, the wafer. And if they choked on it or couldn't eat it, you know, without sort of, properly, then they were deemed to be probably at fault. And it's hardly the same type of punishment, it is, isn't it? What happened to equal punishment here? So so these were trial by, what do I call it? Yeah. And it wasn't just in Catholic Europe. In India, they had one where their gods, if the gods would protect you, they had a ring in the bottom of a pot and there was this poisonous snake and you had to put your hand into the pot and pull out the ring without the snake biting you. In Africa, you had to drink a poison from a bean, and if you didn't, your heart didn't stop and you didn't stop breathing, then the gods were looking after you because that's what should have happened, and it obviously did happen. So these were these trials by ordeal, and it's hardly the judgment in the Bible. If you read through the Bible, the judges had to not be bribed. They had to be equal in their judgments, and just say that's not how it operated in these inquisitions, and the punishments were also in the Bible too, and it depended, the severity depended on how callous the crime was. If they intended or didn't intend, it was an accident, or if they plotted, then the punishment was meted out according to that. We won't read Exodus, that there are those laws that mention that. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have put aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor of whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And for us, it's a matter of, if you keep in the spirit, then you don't fulfill the things that will get you in trouble with the law of God. And which is, it is just so easy compared, to be worrying about, doing the right thing, or have you got the strength to do the right thing? And just all you've got to do is worry about, make sure you pray, make sure you seek the Lord in the spirit, have the spirit lead you, the spirit bring about that love of God and love of mankind, so that you don't want to do the wrong thing. You don't want to lie to people, you don't want to steal, you don't want to cheat, and certainly you don't want to kill. And that doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you, to you, as Jesus said, was one of the two important things. You love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Okay, we will have a look at Matthew 26. I was reading a little bit about the Wild West in America. And California, there was about 300, and people used to really look after each other because they needed to, and then about 300,000 newcomers come in looking for gold. And things changed considerably, and we're talking about sort of judgment, but law and order just went out the window pretty much, and there was just drunkenness. There was, people just got shot, and there wasn't lawmen there to sort of to bring justice about, and then there was vigilantes, and then eventually these vigilantes become powerful, and they could nearly be hired, and they became feared more than the criminals, and then there was the ranchers would get their own little armies, and it just got completely out of hand. So the government eventually had to step in with their army, and then marshals, and with lawmen to try to clean it up. And I suppose, and that's the difference, where you sort of think, well, these vigilantes, they really, they've got the troops, they've got the firepower, but they don't have a code, they don't have laws to live by that they need to adhere to everybody. So whereas, when the army was sent in, they had codes, and the government had laws that they were to abide by, and the word of God is there so that people do know exactly what the Lord wants, and the Lord will bless. Okay, Matthew 26 and verse 57. Matthew 26 verse 57. This is about Jesus. A lot of us know it quite well, and had laid hold on Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. The high priest answered and he said to him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say to you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palm of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? And some trial, some justice, some judgment that was going on here. These guys were supposed to be, abiding by their own codes as well. And they broke so many of them in what they did here. I mean, first they bribed some guy called Judas, one of the disciples, Jesus went before Annas, then Caiaphas. Annas was the ex-priest. Caiaphas was the current priest. Then he went before the Sanhedrin, and that was in the morning. And then he went before Pilate, and then Pilate pushed him off to Herod, and then Herod pushed him back to Pilate. They had all this happening, and things that the Sanhedrin or these Jewish leaders were not supposed to be doing. There was no capital were cases where people could be put to death were to be heard before the Passover, and they were doing this and they pushed it to get done before the Passover because they required 24 hours before sentencing could be done for these type of cases. You're supposed to get a prime witness first and then get secondary witnesses to back up the facts, but they brought him in and then started running around looking for people to witness against him, and they really couldn't find anybody to witness against him, so they had to say, oh, well, that's enough. You've said you're God, the Son of God. There was no defence witnesses, and when they went to Pilate, they changed their story as to what they were really looking for. Might have a look at that, Luke 23, verse 1. Yeah, so when you see, I mean, the law in our country, if you go to, I've never been to a court case, I think. I've never even appeared in court myself, which is surprising in my younger days. But, today you don't, you can keep silent, and if you want to testify, you might find that your character is tested. But if you've had previous convictions for any crime, they really can't be brought up in the current case, and it's only in very special circumstances where they can be brought up. So it is quite amazing. I just think of the Old Testament law, if you're an ox, then you're known to be, pushing and in that way, and then you gored somebody. If it was known that you had been an ox that was pushing and, a pretty difficult ox, then the owner, if he hadn't sort of made sure that this ox was kept in well, then the owner could be in big trouble. So anyway, I don't know how that relates to people having with previous cases against them, but okay, then we've got Luke 23 and verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you sayest this. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard that heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard of many things of him, for he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him, And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. At the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one that perverts the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with him, this man, and release to us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them, and they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast in prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So we see, you know, certainly no judgment was done to Jesus here. Just the process was against their own laws of what should have been done. Go to Acts chapter 8. Getting near the last couple of scriptures. Acts 8. And this is this takes us and is telling us about Jesus, how he, as he said, when he went to Herod, he didn't even bother really answering Herod, and Herod was just so mad, and because Herod said, I could help you if you just say something, but he knew that the purpose that Jesus was there was that he might die for us, that he might be this perfect sacrifice. Okay, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now, this is a different story. This is talking about Philip and the eunuch. Verse 26. "The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. Sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understands what you read? And he said, How can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet, this of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached to him Jesus. And when they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, See, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So in preaching of Jesus, you certainly preach baptism. And as we read in Matthew 3, when John said, I come to baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So that's, leading on from the book of Isaiah. Okay, just one more, and that's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 10. It's funny, cases in history about people that were convicted, before we had DNA and all the different things they can do now, convicted of murder, and then and were executed, and then the person they're supposed to have murdered turns up. That's happened in history. And also people convicted of murder, and then somebody comes forward and says, I did it. And they had a long history of, doing that type of thing. I suppose for Jesus, they thought they'd put Jesus to death. I wonder, I reckon they'd have been pretty feeling pretty chuffed with themselves, the Sanhedrin and these elders. You do wonder how they felt, but then to think they'd put him to death and then he reappears and he's back in full life again, you know, and these disciples are just charged up. And there's not just one Jesus now. There's hundreds and there's thousands of Jesus running around the countryside. And, you know, how can you put a lid on this? And, okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. And be you angry, and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Okay, that's it. The judgment, God's judgment. We use God's judgment all the time. We have received the Spirit of Truth, so we can discern, you know, what is truth. And the more we read, the more we act out what we read. We become, with a much stronger understanding of what. Is the right way to go, and it becomes quite hardwired into us. Okay, I'll leave there. Philip.